Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high and led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now, this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Father, we ask as we continue to study this text that you would continue to turn on our understanding. Help us, Holy Spirit, to see specific applications for our own personal involvement in this assembly and for the ministry in this church. And I pray that you would build us up into maturity as we continue to study this text together. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Well, as Kevin mentioned, we are going to look at some bodybuilding again. And specifically, we're going to look at a positive aspect of what it would mean for a church to be built up. So, as I find where I am here, if I can find where I am, and I can't, just a moment. There we go. We're going to look at growing into Christ by speaking the truth in love. This passage has really been refreshing to me personally to regularly be looking at, to consider exactly how our Savior has designed the church to function. I'm thankful for technology, so what I'm about to say is in no way a statement against that. But, you know, it's a reality that now, through flashy technology and media, you can make a unbiblical philosophy of the church look really good. You ever notice that? It can look really sharp and really alluring. But I'm thankful for a text like this, which is able to give us discernment to see through what is often the beautiful technological wrappings of an unbiblical philosophy of the church. You know, in a culture that places high value on influence and mass appeal, market-driven approaches to how the church is to function seems to make sense, because that's what you see everywhere. But Ephesians 4 tells us exactly how we are to approach the church, and we can, by faith, approach seeing the church flourish in that way, and we can reject the so-called Christian market research gurus and do what Ephesians 4 says by faith. You know, it can actually be overwhelming for any of God's people to constantly hear from worldly Christians on how you have to reach unsaved people. And if you don't do it that way, you're not going to reach them. That can be overwhelming. But when you know Ephesians 4 and how it's to function, we can humbly be the church we're supposed to be witnesses of Christ and invite sinners in to be what Christ has called us to be. Let me ask you a question. How do you interpret the many churches today that seem to be flourishing on the outside, but very obviously are not obedient to this text? Okay? I think it's easy to sit here and study this, but let's just bring it down where we need to think about this, all right? How do you interpret churches that seem to be flourishing, even though they're not majoring on what this text says you're supposed to be majoring on as the church? Well, one answer is, on one level, we don't have to interpret it, do we? It's not, our focus needs to be on what? Our own obedience, our own faithfulness and obedience to God's word. They have a master, if they're Christians, and we do too. It's the same master, and we answer to who? The same master, and we can answer to our own master. We don't have to answer for them, do we? But it's not quite that simple, because you are struggling sometimes as a Christian to see what's going on there. I don't understand. Let me give you two important principles in interpreting what's going on there. One, and by the way, both of these principles assume we're talking about a gospel holding church. It's a church that has the true gospel, but that we would say is not at all majoring on what the Bible says you should be majoring on. Okay, I'm not talking about a place that doesn't even have the gospel. I'm talking about a place that has the gospel, seems to be flourishing, but it's not majoring on what Scripture says to major on. First of all, I think there's two ways to interpret that, so that we aren't sidetracked and actually continue on the way we're going. First, God may be sovereignly blessing in real ways in spite of that church's immaturity or unfaithfulness to what Christ says they should be majoring on. He could be doing that. If they have the gospel, do you think God is good enough and glorious enough and sovereign enough to be advancing his purposes even through a church that's being less than obedient on what they should be focusing on? Well, you got to say yes to that, because let me ask you, is the Bible church as obedient as we need to be? Are we as mature as we need to be? No. So, and does God do things here? Yes. So we got to have that mindset, right? We have to recognize that God, as someone says, he can draw a straight stick with he can draw a straight line with a crooked stick, right? But secondly, so he's free to give fruit even at a church that still proclaims the gospel, even if that church is increasingly guilty of trying to please men rather than God. But second, it's also true that if a church is still affirming, if a church is stiff-arming, a church is stiff-arming a careful focus on God's word and the building up of the body through the ministry of God's word, if a church is downplaying that, then, and they're de-emphasizing the preaching and teaching of God's word, I think we can also assume that some of the flourishing is not true spirit-produced flourishing. We have to assume that to some extent, because very clearly, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So a place that's downplaying the word of God is going to inevitably, and luring people in with things that are not centered on God's word, is going to inevitably start, if it's flourishing externally, start flourishing in ways that are not to do with regeneration, right? Now, think of it this way. Think of a church that has the gospel, but that is downplaying God's word, is upplaying everything else that the culture wants to get people into to be somewhere. Can you imagine if in that church someone came in and said, or that the pastors there said, you know, we're changing our philosophy. We're actually going to do what Ephesians 4 says. So we're going to start focusing on God's word, and we're going to really focus in on that. And they start doing that careful exposition of God's word and looking at God's word together. Do you think that church would stay looking the same? Do you think a lot of those people would walk away? Yes, because they weren't there for that, right? I think that would show you that some of that flourishing is not spirit produced. But here's the thing. For all the churches, the focus for all the churches is to be what Ephesians 4 says. A careful, reverential focus on God's word and to see Christ build his church in that way, in the ways that he says here. So let's walk back through what we've seen so far and recapture it. Last week we looked at specifically, as we walk back through, I'm just going to summarize today. Verses 1 through 6, walk in a manner worthy of your calling in Christ in the context of his church. That is characterized by humility, gentleness, and patience. The way you walk in that way is through lovingly tolerating one another and by diligently preserving unity. The foundations for that unity are rooted in who? The triune God, Spirit, Son, Father. That's the order that's given there. All right? So walk in a manner worthy of your calling in Christ in the context of his church as, verses 7 through 16, as Christ brings about a mature unity in his body. What's the key phrase there? Not key phrase, but an important phrase for us to understand how he does it. In his body, by the body, by the body. So, a mature unity through the diversity of Christ's gifts to each person in his body. All of us have gifts. Those were spiritual gifts given to us by Christ. Victory gifts as a consequence of Christ's victory on the cross and resurrection. Secondly, a mature unity specifically through Christ's equipping gifts to his body. And those are the apostles, prophets. Those are both foundational gifts. Evangelists, pastor, teachers. Those are present gifts. And the one that is week in and week out operational in the life of the church is the pastor, teacher gift. What's the purpose of these gifts? Look at verse 12. The purpose is for the purpose of preparing all the saints, right? For what? For the work of the service, with the final goal that the body of Christ would be built up through the service of who? Of all the saints. All the saints. Now, what would it look like if a local church was equipped to build itself up into maturity? It would look like what verse 13 says. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith, that's one way of saying it, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, that is a doctrinal unity and an experiential unity in walking with Christ, to a mature man, that's another way of saying it, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And you remember this is a whole body maturity, such that we could never individually be this mature apart from the body. It's a whole body maturity. All right, so the goal of being built up is Christ-likeness, right? Well, what's the evidence of being built up? What would be the result of it? How could you say that church is a mature church? Well, verses 14 and 15. And actually all the way through verse 16. First of all, not being characterized by the doctrinal instability of immaturity. Look at verse 14. As a result, we are no longer to be what? Children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. So an evidence of a body being built up and mature is that it's no longer full of instability as a child is. All right, there's a maturity here. Not tossed and carried about. In other words, not manipulated by outside false teaching, but grounded in the truth. So if that's what would not be true of a church that's mature, what would be true of a church that's mature? That's where we are today. That was the negative side. That's what would not be true of a mature church. What's an evidence of a truly mature church? Well, that's in verse 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. So, the evidence the body is being built up is not being characterized by the doctrinal instability of immaturity, but rather, here's the outline we're at right now, being characterized by growing in maturity as the body speaks the truth in love. All right, so two simple points today. This is a maturity defined as growing up into Christ. And secondly, it is a maturity that is by means of something. We're going to come to that later. So let's read verses 14 and 15 and see if we can see the main part of verse 15 that is the contrast to verse 14. All right? This is what would not be true of a church if it's mature. We are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. So that's not what we should be. Rather, But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. So rather than being immature, we are to what? We're to grow up into Christ. That's the contrast there. Grow up, specifically grow up into who? Into Christ. So first of all, it's a maturity defined as growing up into Christ. Now this makes total sense, doesn't it? If the goal of a body being built up is mature Christ-likeness, then the evidence of being mature is that you are growing up into Christ, right? A redundancy there to show us. So notice the assumption is that every single church needs to what? Every church needs to what? What does verse 15 say? Grow up, right? Every church needs to grow up. Every single one. That's the assumption. And how is that the case? Well, one, every local expression of Christ's body started at some point, and when it started, it was immature as a body, because there is no way that a new expression of Christ's body could have already attained doctrinal unity and experiential unity in Christ and mature manhood and attained to the fullness of Christ, right? No new church could. So every new church needs to grow up. But there's another way that we know every church needs, the assumption is the church needs to grow. As a church is maturing, what's going to happen? We even talked about it this morning. As a church is maturing and it's being equipped, the people will increasingly be what? Towards the world. Witnesses of Christ, right? And as the church individually, all of us are increasingly witnesses of Christ, what could we expect to happen? People will get saved. And when they get saved, what ought to happen? They ought to be baptized and added to the church in membership, right? And so you've got this thing where in a maturing church, in God's good sovereign grace, if he delights to do so, he will be adding new people into that assembly. And guess what? As soon as that new person comes in, the whole body needs to what? Grow up, right? Because we're a body and it's a body growth. And so there's this growing that's constantly going. So what kind of growth is this? It is, next, a comprehensive growth. It's a comprehensive growth. Look what it says in verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in what? What does it say, verse 15? We are to grow up in, next two words, all aspects. Would you call that comprehensive growth? Supposed to grow up in all aspects. It's a comprehensive growth. Literally, we are to grow up into him in all things. And the idea is with reference to all things. And that's why I think the NASB has it right here when it says grow up in all aspects. It's a comprehensive growth. Every area of the spiritual life of the church is to be growing into maturity. So what does that mean? Well, that means we are to grow in maturity in the way we relate to God's word as a body, doesn't it? All of us in how we gather to hear God's word, how we listen to it, how we respond to it in obedience to it, how we read it personally at home. We're to grow up in maturity together in the way we pray together and in interceding for one another at home as well. We're to grow in maturity together in the way we memorize and meditate upon God's word. We are to grow in maturity together in the way we use our spiritual gifts, right? We're to grow in maturity together in the way we serve each other sacrificially. We're to grow in maturity in the way that we communicate the gospel as witnesses of Christ to sinners around us. We're to grow in maturity together in the way we use our finances for the furtherance of the gospel here and through missions. We're to grow in maturity together in the way that we function as families, how husbands love their wives and how wives submit to their husbands, how parents parent their children in godly ways and how children learn obedience to their parents and how all the married folks and all the single adults and all the saved children serve the Lord together with the giftedness they have. We're to grow in maturity together as we each take ownership and responsibility for the furtherance of the gospel in this church and through this church. We're to grow in maturity together in our faithfulness in carrying out our ministry, such that if we have a part in the ministry here, we take it as unto the Lord. And and we give as much care and concern and follow through and sacrificial service to that we do of our hobbies and the other things that we enjoy, because we're doing it unto the Lord. And on we could go. This growth that characterizes a body that is being built up is a comprehensive growth. But secondly, it's a Christ-centered growth. Look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into who? Him, which is Christ, who is the head, even Christ. It's a Christ-centered growth. The idea of growing up into Him is that He is the goal of our growth. Okay? He's the model. He's the standard. Christ is the reference point for every expression of His body. We are to be maturing into who He is. We are, as a body, to attain to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Him. Verse 13. Now, it's been illustrated this way, and I think it's helpful to a point, and we don't want to... every illustration has a point where it breaks down, but... If you look at a toddler, the reason why they're so cute, one of the reasons we consider them to be cute and we don't consider each other to be cute, is that they're a little out of proportion, aren't they? What part of their body is out of proportion? Their head is huge. You ever think about that? Look at a toddler. Their head is mammoth. Their body is small. It's really kind of comical. And don't make it too much fun, because you used to be that way too. Maybe you still are. No, I'm just joking. When you look at that, the body, as it matures, needs to grow up into the head, so to speak, right? You see that? We are the Christ's body, and we are to grow up into the head, unto the head of Jesus Christ. So as we mature, that will happen. Now, it's also important to notice, though, that a mature church is a church that has to grow up into Christ. And there's different images that are used in Scripture. This is an important note. We're memorizing two different passages this year that you need to make sure you keep straight. 1 Corinthians 12, the head imagery is used of just any number of God's people. Okay? Like a hand or a foot or a... That's not Christ in 1 Corinthians 12, but it's His body. In Ephesians, the head is who? So keep that straight, all right? Keep that straight. He is the goal of a body's growth and the very reason that the body can grow. And we'll especially see that next week. This imagery of Christ being the head of the body, the head of the one true church, and every single faithful expression of that one church, is that Christ is preeminent, and he is to have prominence in the church. He's to have first place in everything. He ought to have first place in everything where? Everywhere. And one day He will, but right now, where's the one place in the world that He absolutely should be more and more having the preeminence? It's in His church, right? It's in His church. He, the head, has the preeminence. He has the prominence. And that's why we go through God's Word, because we functionally show He's the head. It's not about what we come up with to say, it's what He says. We're in submission to Him. So a church that is evidencing being built up in a, is a church that is growing up into Christ. It is a comprehensive growth, and it is a Christ-centered growth. But here is a really, really important question. And this is the question that so many times the epistles answer that is so helpful. All right, we are to grow up, but what? All right, I can come in and I can say, you need to grow up. You know, you're parenting your child. You need to grow up. You need to grow up. And I just keep saying, you need to grow up. You're immature. You need to grow up. What do you need to say? What do they need to hear? How to grow up, right? Don't they need that? Don't they need to be equipped how to? So it's not just, you need to grow up, church. Every church, you need to grow up. It's, there's a way to grow. What's that way? Well, let's look at it. You see, we could grasp from this passage that the goal of the church is a whole body maturity that's comprehensive and it's Christ-centered and it's exactly what Christ wants. But if we can't grasp how this happens, this passage will be like a beautiful diamond that you walk into a jewelry store at, look at it, put it back and walk away because you don't have the resources to get it. You don't have the means to get it. You don't know how to get it. This is a beautiful diamond of God's truth about the church, there's a way to apply it. There's a way to experience it. You know, we've used the illustration in this text about football, okay? And this is the one play for the church. And there's quarterbacks, and those are the equipping gifts. And they are to get the ball to all the people so that all the players can move the ball down the field so that we can all be mature, so that we can score, so to speak, right? Now, what if you got the quarterback and all the players, you got the field, you know what you're supposed to do, you've been told where you're supposed to go, but you don't have the ball? Is it going to work very well? What's the ball? What's the ball? Well, we've already touched on this point, but because there have been some hints along the way. So let me show you the hints, and then we're going to look at it in verse 15. Here's the first hint. All the equipping gifts, like, let me read them, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers, all the equipping gifts communicate what? Say it with me. Say God's word, right? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers, all the equipping gifts communicate God's truth. In fact, we're told that the equipping gift that functions most regularly in the church today is not simply called the pastor, but the pastor what? Pastor teacher, which is a communication of what? Of God's word. All right? So that's the first hint. All right? Here's another hint. The goal of the body being built up in Christ's likeness, the goal of the body being built up in Christ's likeness, and one way to say that is to attain a unity of the faith. So that's the goal. One way to say it, verse 13 is, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, which refers to the doctrine of the church. All right, that's teaching things. Here's another hint. The evidence that we are mature is that we are no longer tossed and carried about by false what? Teaching. So if that's the evidence of not, if the evidence of immaturity is being tossed around by false teaching, how do you think you'll become mature? By being blessedly tossed around by true teaching, right? No, being established in the true doctrine. So how does a body grow up into Christ who is its head? Well, it has everything to do with the first phrase in verse 15. In fact, you may have wondered why I skipped over it. I skipped over it because the main point is we are to grow up into Christ. But the first phrase tells us how. Look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. Here's what you could say. A maturity by means of God's word communicated in a loving manner. It's a maturity by means of God's word communicated in a loving manner. Now, verse 15 could say it this way, connecting to verse 14. Rather than being unstable and blown about by false doctrine, by means of speaking the truth in a loving manner, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. Now, look at that word, speaking the truth. That sometimes is debated. Is it saying speaking the truth, or is it talking about being truthful in your actions? And I just want to just show you why I think this is correct. We just saw that this context emphasizes the communication of God's truth, right? So that's one thing. Another thing is that in Ephesians 1:3, the root of this word is used this way. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, there's a communication of truth there. And the only other time this word is used is Galatians 4:16. It says this, so have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? So that's the only other time is definitely needs to be translated that way. I think that's the right way to say it here. So we are to grow up into Christ as a church. How? This should be in the very DNA of the Bible church. If someone, you know, in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, someone wakes you up, calls you on the phone, how does the church grow? What did she say? By means of the word of God. That's what, you should be ready for the 3 o'clock call. You remember that? The presidential elections last time, and who's going to be ready for the 3 o'clock call? The Bible church needs to be ready for 3 a.m. calls. How does the church grow? By means of God's word. By means of God's word, communicated in a loving way. So far from seeing the church built by downplaying God's truth, a church is truly built in this way by emphasizing the communication of God's truth. Do you see why
Much of the church today is so broken, they are de-emphasizing what? They're de-emphasizing God's word. They are de-emphasizing the very way that God has ordained the church to grow legitimately.
By the way, the fact that most Christians do not want to hear God's word preached for any length of time is a huge indicator of immaturity. A mature body of believers will love to give attention to God's word more than just for a few minutes. And in fact, a mature body of believers realizes that if they are to come to know God's word as it was revealed, they will need to give some serious attention to it. It's revealed in such a way that you can't just fly by night on it. It's designed to be studying and considered. And a mature church is glad to spend their time on the Lord's day listening to the Lord's word. You see how much that makes sense? The Lord's day, listening to the Lord's word. It's amazing how in our flesh and in maturity, we can actually stiff arm what obviously needs to be. So I hope that's not the case for us, that we actually want that and we're maturing. What would it say about us if we were not willing to give attention on the Lord's day to the Lord's word? There are two aspects to this growing up into Christ by means of God's word being communicated. First, the ball gets started as the equipping gifts communicate the word. So as a pastor teacher communicates God's word in the life of the body, that is supposed to be a constant ignition within the life of the body for how many people to speak the truth? All of us. You see that? The equipping gift is given to equip all the saints to do the work of the ministry for the building up of the body. And the evidence that the body is being built up and is mature is that everybody's speaking the truth. And that's how the body gets matured more, by speaking the truth. But secondly, remember, pastor teachers have been given by Christ for, like we just said, for the equipping of everyone to do this. Now just think about that for a second. That means a church is not mature just because it listens to preaching and studies God's word. You get that? A church is mature when all of the church folks are communicating God's word. That's when you start seeing maturity. How does this happen? A maturity by means of God's word communicated in a loving manner. Which means not only should the pastor teacher be communicating God's truth in the life of the body, but who else? Like we've said, everybody. Now, how does that happen? It happens in many ways. But the reality is, I want to point out, is this. That happens through people, different teaching opportunities and group things. But what I want to point out is, not so much that, I want to point out that it ought to happen between believers in the body. Okay, it should happen between believers in the body. Every single time God's word is preached here, it ought to be another passage of truth that is in our arsenal of love towards each other to communicate to each other. It ought to be another passage that we love to fellowship around together as God's people. So a mark of a maturing body is that it isn't just the pastor teacher communicating, but it's the body itself taking the truth and ruminating on it and fellowshipping around it and exhorting each other about it instead of simply eating each week together here. We have a wonderful opportunity for this. Instead of simply eating each week and talking about what's going on in each other's lives, we can still do that, but we need to do it within the context of God's truth. And we need to fellowship over the things that God has shown us in His Word. You know, you can walk into a church and really see the maturity on that is this. God, all right, first of all, is the word of God being preached faithfully, expositionally, showing what God has said? One. Two, after the service, are God's people talking about spiritual things in relationship to life? Or are they only talking about what unbelievers would be talking about? You see that? So you say, here's where you see the maturity of the whole body. Did you know that if you want to do that, but if nobody else wants to do it, it's hard to do it? Do you know that? Right? Oh, God's been teaching me something. Everybody get silent. into the conversation. They don't have anything to talk about. I don't think that's the case here, but I think we need to grow in this. Have you ever been in a situation like that? Something's burning in your heart spiritually. You communicate it, and everybody gets quiet. What ought to be is that we are cherishing God's word here. We delight in God's word. We love to share God's word. We're to continue to fellowship around God's word that we've just considered together. I really want to challenge us on this, that we need to grow in this. We need to openly and humbly, and as we're going to see now, lovingly communicate God's truth to one another. This is the means by which we are going to grow up into Christ, and it is an evidence that we are, in fact, growing up into Christ. But there's one more really important point that needs to be made about this communication of God's truth to one another. There's a manner in which we are to do it. Look at verse 15. But by means of speaking the truth in a loving what? In a loving manner. In a loving manner. We are to do it in love. The body grows up into Christ by means of the communication of God's word in love. You see, God's truth can be communicated from the pulpit or between believers in such a way that is unloving. Right? Is that an evidence of maturity? And will that promote maturity? No, that will promote the flesh, won't it? Okay? So it needs to be communicated in love by the equipping gifts, and it needs to be communicated by all of us to each other in love, by speaking the truth in love. That means that we will sometimes wait until the right time to say something. Do you understand that? Do you understand that about love? We struggle with that, don't we? We know so-and-so needs to hear something, but in love, we understand that even though it needs to be said, and it maybe needs to be said soon, it's not a good situation to say it in right now. Right? So you lovingly wait. Love also means that you are... Love simply means that you are more interested in their good than yourself, right? Which means that if you need to say something from God's word to another brother or sister in Christ, that actually you're not sure how they're going to receive it, but you need to say it, in love you do it. Because that's loving, right? It's loving. This is the means by which we are going to grow up into Christ our head. So, one person put it this way, love involves seeking the benefit of the undeserving even at one's own expense and is bound up with humility, gentleness, and willingness to work for unity and peace. Now, do you see the remarkable contrast between verses 14 and 15? Rather than an immaturity that is marked by instability, being cast about by false teaching that's deceitful, it's false teaching in a deceitful manner. We are to be mature, which is evidenced by truth speaking in a loving manner. Now, I've broadened this out to say the communication of God's word, and that is right. But notice it says here the truth, right? Of speaking the truth. And probably the bullseye of that is the focus on the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to communicate God's truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how we grow. It's not just how we get saved, it's how we grow. And we need to have an appropriate Christ-centeredness in the communication of God's word. So remember, we're to walk in a manner worthy of our calling in Christ in the context of his body, the church, as Christ brings about a maturity in his body by the body. And what's the characteristic of that? Humility, gentleness, and patience. That makes sense, doesn't it? If the way we're going to grow is by communicating the word of God in love, that means part of our walk is to be humble, gentle, patient as we do the communicate of God's word. And the path to actively pursue a worthy walk is showing loving tolerance and diligently preserving unity. So with that in mind, it makes sense that we are to mature by means of the communication of God's truth in a loving manner. So here's the question. You ready? How does a church grow up? By the communication of God's word at every single level. So here's some exhortations. Be here, or we won't grow up. Be attentive when you hear, or we will not grow up. Ask God to change you and apply what you've learned, or we will not grow up. Resolve to treasure God's word in this church by speaking it to one another, or we will not what? Or we won't grow up. This is the plan of Christ for his church. And let's ask him now to continue to work it out in our midst. Father, we thank you for this reminder, and help us to really see the edge of it in our life of our church. Help us to treasure what you've given us to do, and treasure your plan. And Lord, we ask that your Spirit would help each one of us to grow in this. Lord, we cannot grow alone in this. We need to grow together. And so I pray that each person would treasure your word and rejoice in gathering to worship and hear it and to respond to it. And I pray that you would mature us in a wonderful way, that we might display your glory. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.